The cluster of church armsmen was closer now, Wayston observed, and the quantity of abuse coming from the crowd swelled steadily. It couldn't get a whole lot louder, but it was getting more inclusive as shouts and curses with a clear, definitely religious content added themselves to the ongoing chant of Prince Hector's name.
"All right, lads," the sergeant said calmly to the rest of the squad of scout snipers on the roof with him. "Check your priming, but no one so much as moves an eyelash without I give the order."
A quiet chorus of acknowledgement came back to him, and he grunted in approval, but he never took his eyes from the street below him. Despite his injunction, he wasn't concerned by any itchy trigger fingers, really. All of his Marines were veterans, and all of them had been there when Major Porter made his instructions perfectly, one might almost have said painfully, clear. The last thing anyone wanted was for Carizian Marines to open fire on an unarmed crowd of civilians in the streets of Coruscant's capital. Well, maybe that was the next-to-last thing, actually. Wayston was pretty sure that letting anything unfortunate happen to Archbishop Claremont would be even less desirable. That, after all, was what Wayston's squad had been put up here to prevent.
"Of course, unless we're ready to start shooting anyone as soon as they get in range of him, it's possible we might just be a tad late when it comes to the preventing part," he thought with profound disgust.
"Blasphemers!"
Charles Dobbins shouted, waving his fist at the oncoming Archbishop's guard. His voice cracked. It still had an irritating tendency to do that at stressful moments, and his eyes glittered with excitement. Truth to tell, Charles didn't really feel all that strongly one way or the other about this Church of Carus nonsense. In fact, he hadn't chosen his own war cry. That had been suggested by his older brother's friend, Ron Amale. And he wasn't the only person using it either. At least a dozen others in the crowd, most of them no older than Charles himself, had begun shouting the same word, just as they'd rehearsed, the moment someone caught sight of Archbishop Claremont's approach. From the way some of the people around them were reacting, Ron had been right on the mark when he explained how effective the charge of blasphemy would be. Personally, Charles wasn't even entirely certain exactly what blasphemy was, except for the way his mother had always clouted him over the ear for it whenever he took Langhorne's name in vain. And he had no idea how the Church of Carus's doctrine might be at odds with that of the rest of the church. He was no priest, that was for sure, and he knew it. But even he found it difficult to believe the more spectacular stories about orgies on altars and child sacrifice. Stood to reason that nobody could get away with that right here in the cathedral without everyone knowing it was happening, and he'd yet to meet anyone who'd actually seen it, or anyone he would have trusted to tell him whether or not it was raining, at any rate. As far as the rest of it went, though, for all he knew, this new church of theirs could have a point. If even a quarter of what some folks were saying about the so-called Group of Four was true, he supposed he could understand why some people could be upset with them. But that didn't matter either. They were the vicars, and so far as Charles could see, what the vicars said went. He certainly wasn't going to argue with them. If someone else wanted to, that was their affair, and he knew quite a few Coruscantians seemed to agree with the Carizians. In fact, at this particular moment, there were a shanway of a lot more people inside the cathedral than there were standing outside it shouting at them. For that matter, Charles's own mother was the housekeeper for the rectory at St. Catherine's. He knew where she was this morning, and from what she'd said in the last few 5 days, Father Timon seemed to be leaning heavily towards this new Church of Carus as well. But that was really beside the point, as far as Charles was concerned. In most ways, he shared his mother's immense respect for Father Timon. Yet, in this case, she was missing the true point. No, The true point, or at least the one which had brought Charles here this morning, wasn't doctrine or who wore the archbishop's priest's cap here in Manchir. Or it wouldn't have been about who wore the cap, except for the fact that the man who did had sworn fealty to the Empire of Caris, as well as the Church of Caris, in order to get it. It wasn't so much that Charles was a fanatic Coruscantian patriot. There really weren't all that many Coruscantian patriots, in the sense that someone from the millennium-dead Terran Federation might have understood the term. Loyalties in most Safeholdian realms, there were exceptions, like Caris and the Republic of Siddermark, tended to be purely local. Loyalties to a specific baron or earl or duke, perhaps. Or to a prince or an individual monarch. But not to the concept of a nation in the sense of a genuine self-aware nation-state. Young Charles, for example, thought of himself first as a Manchurian, a resident of the city of that name, and then as, in descending order of importance, a subject of the Duke of Manchir, and as a subject of Prince Hector, who happened to be Duke of Manchir, as well as Prince of Coruscant. Beyond that, Charles had never really thought all that deeply, before the Carisian invasion, about where his loyalties lay, or about relations between Coruscant and the Kingdom of Caris. In fact, he still wasn't entirely clear on exactly what had provoked open warfare between Coruscant and Caris. On the other hand, he was only 16 Safeholdian years old, 14 and a half in the years of long-dead Terra, and he was accustomed to being less than fully clear on quite a few issues. What he did know was that Coruscant had been invaded, that the city in which he lived had been placed under siege, that the Coruscantian army had been soundly defeated, and that Prince Hector, the one clearly visible, from his perspective at any rate, symbol of Coruscantian unity and identity, had been assassinated. That was enough to upset anyone, wasn't it? Still, he'd have been inclined to leave well enough alone, keep his own head down, and hope for the best if it had been solely up to him. But it wasn't. There were plenty of other people here in Manchir who definitely weren't inclined to leave well enough alone, and some of them were getting steadily louder and more vociferous. It seemed pretty obvious to Charles that sooner or later, if they had their way, people were going to have to choose up sides, and if he had to do that, he knew which side he was going to choose. Whatever had started the quarrel between Coruscant and Caris, he didn't need any dirty foreigners poking any sticks into hornets' nests here in his hometown. And they had to be dirty foreigners, didn't they? After all foreigners were, weren't they?
"Blasphemers!" he shouted again.
"Blasphemers!" he heard someone else shouting.
It wasn't one of his friends this time either. Others were starting to take up the cry, and Charles grinned as he reached under his tunic and loosened the short, heavy cudgel in his belt.